We're going to go ahead and reconvene. Story County Board of County Commissioners. Final budget hearing. Okay. Once again, we'll go ahead and open it up to any public comment regarding everything in today's budget except Fire Protection District and the Water and Sewer Board, because we've already approved those budgets. Anything else? Okay, at this time then, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the budget in its entirety. Commissioner Gilman?
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of caution and at the recommendation of our district attorney, I'm going to recuse myself from discussions or voting on this year's budget. I have a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and also I have a personal lawsuit against Sheriff Antonoro. And for those reasons, and because the budget items are included here, and in the interest of caution, I'm going to ask the district attorney to review my decision with ethics and give me a turnaround here shortly as to what my position is or shouldn't be with regard to the budget. And so at this point, I'm going to recuse myself from any discussion or...
And Commissioner Gilman, that will be done from our office. I will get on that and request an opinion from ethics on this issue.
Thank you.
Okay. That being said, at this time, Commissioner McGuffey, I'm looking for a motion to approve today's budget in its entirety, the exception of the Fire Protection District and the Water and Sewer, because we've already approved those budgets.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the Story County 2016-17 budget, less the water system and the sewer system budgets.
And the fire protection.
And the fire protection budget.
Very good. I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve today's budget in entirety. Final budget hearing. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The clerk will show that Commissioner Gilman abstained. All right. Thank you, everyone. Elected officials and department heads as well. Nice things like that. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and we're going to backtrack a little bit. And we're going to go back to item number 5. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And, so, Commissioner McGuffey, do you want to start off?
Sure. St. Mary's approved their budget for 2016-17. And I'd like to, they haven't... spread the word to speak of, but they have started a mattress drive. They're trying to replace all the mattresses in that building. A lot of them are scary looking. So I'm buying a mattress. So if any of you out there would like to buy a mattress to help the cause, they'd sure appreciate it. If you're interested in doing that, you can contact our new director there. Her name is Erica. Her number is 561-339-4554. The Fourth Ward School, they're preparing for their season opener as June 10th. It'll be that's a Friday, 6 to 8 o'clock. They'll be serving cocktails there or wine, hopefully. So that's on the books. The B&T Commission, we just had a meeting yesterday afternoon, and approved the 2016-17 budget. We removed $500K that was in that budget, and the $300 was for the repair of Engine 18 that's underway as we speak. And then there was also $100,000 from Story County and $100,000 from Carson City, who we agreed to match that amount on an annual basis. It's not carved in stone yet. We haven't made any final approvals. But the idea that what brought this all about was they were relying heavily on the Story County tax, quarter-cent tax money to keep their operations going. And nothing was being spent in Story County, and that's what it was intended for. So I kind of been putting up the fight for that. And now we're working on a new MOU, and we're going to try to finalize a number. The 100,000 was this number to kind of start with. Carson might not be able to match that, so we're going to work with them. But so the train is starting to run under its own feet, which is really good news. So, but they still rely on some money to fix these old trains. This engine 18, they figured at first it cost $200,000 to $300,000 to give it its annual 15-year service. And 15-year service is pretty much a total teardown. And when they tear down and they measure the thicknesses of the steel and the boilers and all that stuff, then they find other problems. And so that number is actually growing by over another 100,000. So we're okay where we're at. We're just trying to finalize our contribution to the V&T Commission for reconstruction. Okay. NACO, we had a meeting last week with NACO. One of the questions that Chairman McBride brought up was, I want to know if NACO was going to back the ballot question on having a special fuel tax that the county commissioners can impose. The way it's written, that you can, if it passes, it's got to be on the ballot, passed by the voters, and they've given us a leeway of up to 9 cents per gallon. The other counties that are doing it are doing it at 3 cents a gallon. So, but NACO, when I asked if they're going to back it or not, because they're the ones who brought it up, well, they just kind of sat on their hands. And so I asked if they were chicken, and all I got was a chuckle out of everybody. So the problem is it's election season for a lot of county commissioners. So they're kind of hesitant. But you've got to look at it this way. This is an opportunity to get our roads fixed on other people's tax paying, buying fuel. And let's say for truck stops is the biggest source of tax revenue on these deals. So you get basically out-of-towners helping pay for your roads, maintain your roads that they use. So just kind of the gist of it, NACO did finally supply a pros and cons to supply to the counties who want to put it on their ballot. And so they are involved, but they just don't want to formally back it. Okay. And it's mostly because there's just 17 counties, and not everybody wants it. Some do and some don't. Okay. The big topic item in NACO is Planning 2.0, which is intended to let counties and voters determine what BLM does with our land. Right now, BLM has total control of the land out there, and they can make a park, or they can say, no, you can't have a park here, kind of thing. So this is Planning 2.0 is basically intended to let the voters have a say on what BLM's going to do with that property all over the state of Nevada. Austin filled in for me at the primary NACO meeting. So he's writing language for Story County, and NACO has asked all counties to write some language to send in. They have a proposal to submit to BLM right now, and they're going. It was voted unanimously to submit that on behalf of all Nevada counties. Any questions?
Quite a report.
Yeah.
Mr. Gilman?
I'll give you my time. I have nothing to report today.
Let's see here. I don't have much today. Our next regularly scheduled meeting of June the 7th has been canceled to make way for the groundbreaking of USA Parkway. It's going to be held at 3 p.m. out in the industrial park. Of course, the master of ceremonies will be Governor Sandoval, and then the director of NDOT will be there as well. And I'm not sure how many other dignitaries will be there. But anyway, this is a monumental feat. I mean, this is the first highway built in Story County in many, many years. And so this is it's a big impact. It's about a $77 million project. We hope it employs many Nevadans in the construction field out there. Ames Construction is the contractor of record out of Utah, our neighbors to the east. So I don't know if they broke ground yet, have they? I mean, it's a groundbreaking ceremony, but I know
groundbreaking, but they're working on the right away.
They've been staging equipment and getting stuff set up out there. I think they expect to be completed by August of next year. So it's just the time frame is going to be fast. It's a design build project. So. Anyone who has any free time might want to attend out there. It might be kind of fun. With that, I think we're going to go ahead and move on now to item number 7. This is discussion of possible action. This is a work hard appeal revocation hearing for Cheryl Ray. I think Cheryl's in attendance here. And we have Donnie Gilman. You're here to represent her today.
Yeah.
Chairman, I believe we have to reconvene as a lawful board.
Okay. Thank you. With that said, at this time, we're going to go ahead and recess the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Brothel Board.
So the sheriff needs to be up here.
Sheriff, do you want to join us?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Donnie.
So Donnie Gilman, the Mustang Ranch. Apologize for having you come in front of you again on another appeal for a work card. I also apologize. I am on the downhill side of a flu I've been fighting, so I apologize for that as well. My mind is not all there today.
No.
We do have a work card that has been denied. Cheryl Ray has worked for us for over 9 years. She's never had an issue with her work card before. I can't deny that she accidentally left something off of her work card application. However, it's nothing that would deny her a work card per the ordinance. So I would ask that you approve her work card as she has worked for us with no issues and nothing in her background that would deny her from one.
Okay.
And just for the record, this is the appeal of a work card, so that would be just the commission and not the brothel board.
Okay, so then I guess at this point I can ask the sheriff what the reason for the revocation was.
The ordinance on work cards required a complete disclosure and says that false statements or omissions are grounds for revocation. Ms. Ray had a couple of issues that she failed to disclose that had they have been disclosed, they were not disqualifying things. However, the fact that she failed to disclose them puts it over into that. So if the board chooses to issue her a license, not an issue. Like I said, the acts themselves were not disqualifying, just the fact that she failed to disclose them.
Okay.
And why they did not show up in the past years, I could not tell you. All I can tell you is what was handed to me this year.
Okay. So the issue at hand on non-reporting, how old were these issues?
One is 10 years, the other is 5.
Okay. Do you have any questions for the sheriff? Okay. I guess I'd like to talk to Ms. Ray then. So if we listen to the sheriff's testimony, it doesn't appear that any of these issues were maybe arrest or anything of violent nature.
Correct.
That were on there. I'm not going to ask you to explain what they were. Other than why weren't they disclosed in the past?
I was of the understanding that there were no charges filed and that it wasn't going to appear on my record.
Okay.
Whenever I left, it was never pursued, and so I didn't put it down.
Okay, so basically these are arrests but not convictions.
And right, there was no court date. It was completely dropped. They said that there was no probable cause for the charges.
Okay, when you say they said there were no probable cause, who's
they? The police department, the arresting agency.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking on this item, but I can vouch from the HR perspective in the county, this kind of thing does happen. An employee will come in, everything's good, and then you'll go through a background and some jurisdiction, whether it's here in Mississippi, didn't do the paperwork or push enter in the computer or whatever, and then there's problems. Just wanted to share that. Thank you.
All right. Do you have any questions?
No, I have no questions.
No, I don't know. We've had several of these come through, and a lot of these look like they're negligent. You know, they omit things. Some people have had issues why they can't remember things. I would suggest and recommend to the board that since it doesn't look like anything has come up in recent history. There's no criminal activity. There's nothing. There's no violence of any nature in that.
There's no convictions.
No conviction. Well, we don't know if there's been any other convictions. We don't know what the whole report is. All we know is there was no convictions related to something that was omitted 5 or 10 years ago. But
Mr. Chairman, if I may, because I have a pecuniary interest in the workplace, that I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or voting on this particular issue.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
You're welcome.
So, unless there's an objection from the sheriff, I'd go ahead and recommend that her work card be reinstated.
Yes. I would make the same recommendation.
Would you? Okay. So, anyway, we can, at this time, we can take any public comment on this. This is an action item. Anybody have anything they want to say regarding this? Do you wish to follow up with anything?
Yes, sir.
Tara? No. Okay. All right. Okay, so motion asking the sheriff to reinstate the work card.
Yeah, I'll make a motion for the sheriff to reinstate Cheryl Ray's work card.
I'll second that motion. Been moved and second to go ahead and have the sheriff go ahead and reinstate the work card for Cheryl Ray. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right. Good luck. Okay. We're going to move on now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. At this point, Chief Ames, do we need to go ahead and go ahead and bring the fire board back into? You do. Okay, so at this time, let's go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Brothel Board, and we will go ahead and reconvene as the Story County 474 Fire Board. Okay, item 12.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't necessarily the brothel board because of the appeal, it goes to the Board of Commissioners.
Okay, well, since I called it to order, I guess maybe I should have adjourned it.
Right, and then you were the okay. Commission.
I should have adjourned it before we proceeded, but since Commissioner McGuffey put me on the spot, I can be.
I know. I mean,
I should have adjourned this immediately.
But all right. So, just for the record,
got it.
Do you want to say that to reflect that the motion and the passage of the?
I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So, for the record, the motion that was made second and approved by the board to go ahead and reinstate Ms. Ray's work card was done by the Story County Board of Commissioners. and of the brothel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Madam VA. Okay, moving along now to item number 12, this is discussion of possible action, approval of the Nevada Interagency Cooperative Agreement and the 2016 Nevada Interagency Annual Operating Plan. Chief Haynes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Gary Haynes for the record. This is essentially an extension of the BLM agreement to encompass the U.S. Forest Service as well. In years past, this has probably been 10 years in the making, to be quite honest. In years past, we haven't been able to have an agreement with the U.S. Forest Service because we obviously have no lands to touch or adjoin Story County Fire Protection District lands. We've worked on that for, again, several years. Forest Service has finally agreed because we send so much apparatus out of the state to Forest Service fires that because of that reason, singularly, they're willing to sign on to this agreement. This agreement will be a statewide agreement, and it really is no different for all intent and purposes than what our former or current BLM agreement is. It just encompasses the Forest Service.
Okay. And the advantages to Story County are?
Primarily, it'll be an internal advantage in that we will be able to, currently we have to submit Forest Service bills to the BLM. They're audited by BLM and paid by BLM. So BLM has to contact the Forest Service. Logistically, it's cumbersome for the billing process. This expedites that billing process. We can submit directly to New Mexico billing, and it will be expedited. So that's essentially what this does.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Chief Haynes? Okay, we'll open up for public comment. Hearing none, call for a motion to approve this agreement.
I'll move to approve the Nevada Interagency Cooperative Agreement and Nevada Interagency Annual Operating Plan.
I'll second that motion.
We've been moved and second to approve the cooperative agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Chief Haynes. Okay, at this time we'll go ahead and adjourn as the 474 Fire Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. Moving along now to item number 14. Public comment. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Quick question asked on last week. Didn't you attend the Supreme Court appeal for Vincent Malfitano last week?
It wasn't an appeal. What it is, it's known as the Supreme Court deems it as a settlement meeting, and it's nothing that the plaintiff had asked for or the county asked for, or something that the court itself asked for. They try to settle things before it gets on the docket. And so I guess the easiest way to explain it, we didn't come back and ask for anything from the board today because we couldn't come to any agreement in the meeting. So there is no agreement.
So you attended and there's just nothing?
We attended, yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing.
Okay. So what are the next steps then?
It's my understanding that at some point they'll schedule it to hear it. Supreme Court will hear it.
Oh, okay.
So just to add a little bit on that, the way that it works when a matter gets up to the Supreme Court, either side can request a settlement conference, and the Supreme Court staff love it because there is a settlement, but that doesn't mean it goes to the next stage where now there's going to be briefings, there's going to be potential oral argument down the road, and the Supreme Court, well, the interim court, and then the Supreme Court will make a decision. So it's a long process, and if either side or both sides, you know, actually can settle at this conference that Mr. McBride attended, that's always good. But in this scenario, there was no agreement, so now the next stage is just to go through the process that you would for the Supreme Court. The beauty for the county on this is that Keith Loomis of our office is the one that's been doing all the work. He used to work for the Supreme Court when he started his career, and so we have somebody that knows the process well, and we'll just continue going forward with it. on somebody that already works for the county and is not getting paid extra.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comment? Okay.
It's not on the
Come on up.
Okay.
We're going to have you come to the podium, and I'm going to have you identify yourself for the record so that the transcriber can get it down in a minute.
Teresa Charlton, Story County resident. My concern today is and has been to preserve the historical aspects of Story County. It's recently come to my attention that our boardwalk is, there are tables, chairs, picnic tables, cases of albums, carnival flags, flying barbecue, advertising ice cream. And I was just wondering if the ordinances have changed any, because I also represent the Tahoe House Hotel. And when I go out on the balcony and I rent these rooms for a fair sum of money, and you can visually see things that are non-historical, I just am, with five renters down below, I've had them ask me, how come some people are allowed to have their T-shirts and albums and saddles put out, obstructing passage, egress, and regress on the boardwalk, and others are not. So I was talking to Austin and inquiring what's going on with that.
Okay. That's a very good question, Teresa. And with that, I'm going to ask Austin, who is an expert in this field of county ordinance, so if you can go ahead and give an explanation.
I'd be happy to. Can you hear me with that? All the way over there.
Why don't you pass the microphone down?
Thank you. Hey, Teresa gave me a call and talked with me about this. It's funny. You look at all the things that are going on across the county, the Teslas and the switches and the zone changes and the master plan and, you know, and all these things. And the hardest thing to deal with is the signs and the stuff on C Street. What we had done, I have on numerous occasions gone to that area and found exactly what Teresa's describing, is flags and banners and items being sold on the boardwalk, easels blocking pedestrians, the whole thing. And a lot of times, this is on Saturday when I'm walking my dog through there right around that time, and I have gone in there and right over there and said, clean it up, get this stuff out of here, and this is what the rules say. And they did, for the most part, to at least keep it at bay right now. And then, of course, a week later or 2 weeks later or 6 weeks later, it starts creeping back. I agree with Teresa. I empathize with the situation. Jason and I have taken a lead on updating the sign ordinance, which also includes doing business on the boardwalk and all these sorts of activities. And we wanted to really take more of a VCTC and business line approach to workshopping some components of that ordinance regarding C Street. I spent 2 years writing that ordinance. It's a very good ordinance, but it's too tight on C Street. So we have announced that we're trying to keep things at bay for right now, but we're going to get the ordinance completed, and then when that's completed, then with our new nuisance ordinances that the district attorney's office has now put together, and the process for addressing these signs and illegal items are going to be enforced very stringently. The only thing that's delayed that sign ordinance update is getting the master plan done. We have a deadline we have to meet on the master plan, and that's been first and foremost. Once that's done, the sign ordinance situation will be right first and foremost on the agenda or on our cases, as well as some other things. So at this point, you know, we can go up and down C Street as it is, and if we were to ask to do full compliance with the way it is, every item you see on the boardwalk, the barrels, the newspaper machines, every sign, all but three per business, a lot of these things will be disappearing, and the question is which ones are legally nonconforming. We have the Quigley situation where he's probably the most violator, and there's two sides to whether you like that or not. I'm not taking a position on it here. That's kind of what's going on at this point. I'm anticipating August is the day the master plan has to be done, is August. And at that point, right now, Jason and I are adding appendices and proofreading each other's work and doing the I's and the dots and the T's and all that. is to get this up and running and go through the public workshops, particularly with the business community. I spent 18 months doing public workshops with the county and the Planning Commission, but I think we really should involve the C Street folks more to address everything from neon to numbers of signs to businesses like the Tahoe House that have entrances on B and D Street that the ordinance right now doesn't address, those sorts of things. I hope I answered the question, at least what's being done. And in the meantime, is to keep these things at bay.
Yes.
It isn't fully compliant.
Just, I have one of the renters, and he's asking, well, how come they can and we can't? And I said, well, I'll go find out. So I went to the visitor tourism meeting, and then they suggested I come here as well.
I will. I'm going to add one more thing. The dean's office has agreed they're going to deal with a new building inspector. We have a new building inspector on staff. I think this person is going to be a real rock star working with us, and that person's duties include the nuisances and the signs and the boardwalk sweeps, and that person is being assigned to do probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks at the latest to go through and sweep C Street and at least keep it at bay. It may not be 100% until that ordinance is in place, but if we push an 80%, you're not going to see all the craziness that's over there in your area.
Okay.
I did go and take a look at that this Saturday, and at the time I went through, which was just about noon, there were a couple things, but I didn't see a lot of the activity going on out there.
Yeah, normally when I go to church on Sunday morning, when I come out, there's somebody out there peddling popcorn,
okay,
which smells great, but it's still, sometimes I feel like, well, he probably doesn't know who I am. I've lived here a long time, he thinks I'm a tourist, because he's offering it to me, and I go by quite often, so it's a curious thing why he continues to do it. But also, if I may, there's one other issue, and it's regarding flooding and damage that I've noticed, and I've actually taken photos and brought them into your office as well, and it looks like it's causing an erosion problem, and there may be some trees that eventually do fall down onto the road, and I'm referring to G Street. There, and then it goes down to H Street as well. And my neighbor said he went to the water department, and she said that floods like that can cause collapses or sinkholes to form. And so I wasn't sure. I'd come up to the building area department with some photos and showed them before I saw someone had dumped cement trying to prevent some erosion, but it's getting pretty bad, and I have several photos from several different years when it's rained, and I don't know what department to go to see what can be done about that.
Thank you, Teresa. Another item that she's discussing, what she's describing is correct. Mike Nevin and Pat and Dean and our team have been looking at this for quite some time now. What happens, and I don't know exactly where it originates. It probably originates at the top of Mount Davidson, but we know that it does on D Street at the Hugh Gallagher Elementary, and then it works its way down to the train, and then it collects more, and then it works its way down to the train parking lot where it collects more, and by the time it gets down to G Street, this accumulated water has come into that area. Mike is aware of it. We have gotten Tom Gray and his folks to do what you describe as dam that water at his parking lot, and for the most part it works, and then it starts to erode, and then it comes back. I'd be happy to talk with our team again about maybe seeing if we can dam that and put something that's some asphalt or something on there that might help.
It's great seeing the neighbor kids play in it. I mean, it's like a big river when it comes down, and it's like a waterfall, and it looks real good, but what I see is we're going to be losing some trees. I mean, they are literally, they've slid down, and the next good one, they'll probably be in the street. So it's a problem that needs to be solved eventually, is what I'm...
I'll see if our team and Mr. Gray can get together again and take a look at that and see if we can at least come up with a semi-permanent solution.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's going to be any relation whatsoever, but the sewer project that we're doing, we're going to be digging up a lot of streets in a lot of areas. Probably not going to necessarily help in this case, but we do have a plan to try to separate storm sewer from municipal sewer, and that might be something we look at in our long-term plans is how do we tie that area into a storm drain.
Yeah, and I'm very curious because when it hits 8th Street, it's like where does it go from there? Because it all goes down to H, and then it goes away. So I see a big piling, and it's next to, he's my neighbor. He lives by there anyway. It's a curious thing where it goes. I hate to see a collapse happen. We haven't had one in a while. And a lot of water.
Thanks for your testimony today. It won't fall on deaf ears either. We know that we have a nuisance issue on C Street. And as Austin said, as soon as they get this master plan wrapped up, they'll start.
So without compliance, like Austin mentioned, you know, you have people and they pull it in and then 3 days later they put it back out.
Okay. Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, okay, just a reminder that June 7th, USA Parkway, groundbreaking at 3 p.m. And the next regular scheduled commission meeting here, June the 21st, 10 a.m. With that, meeting's adjourned.